We're doing the Avad Chesed. We're up to page Reish Hey in the standard editions, page Reish Ein Aleph in the Zalgman edition. V'amoneh et atzmom lifua chovo k'sheyesh lo mipnei alamut sheyesh bo. Sometimes you have a person who took a loan and he doesn't pay it back because he's strong enough to withhold paying back, meaning you want my money? Come force me, right? So, last time we learned about the importance of paying a loan back, of the importance of paying one's debt. Now he says, what happens if a person not only doesn't pay back his debt, but he does it because he figures he's strong enough that they're not going to come collecting? So then, hu over al mash ketuv b'Torah, that's in transgression of the commandment, lo tashok et re'acha. It says, don't withhold money you owe from your friend. There's a special biblical commandment, lo tashok et re'acha. You hired someone, you owe him money, you have to pay him on time. Yeah, in any instance where a person owes money and he withholds it by force. So now he quotes from the Codex, and the Shulchan Aruch it says, Ezeu Oshek. What's considered Oshek, that the Torah prohibits a person? The verse says, Lo tashok te'acha, ze sheba mamon chavro letoch yado birtzon ha'ba'alim. That's a situation where you have someone else's money, they put it in your possession willingly. For example, they worked for you, so they were in agreement that you would owe them money. They kevan shetva'u, and then when they come collecting and they say, "Hey, it's time to pay me," kavash hamamon bechuzka velo chziro. A person holds on to it by force and doesn't give it back. Kigon shayalo biyat chavro halva'a o schirut. For example, if someone gave you a loan, or you hired someone, v'utovo, and then the guy comes collecting and says, "Hey, pay me my wages or pay me the money I lent you." And the guy knows he can't force your hand. You're stronger than him. You're a tougher person than him. That's all included in the biblical prohibition. Lo tashok et re'acha. Ad kan lishono. This is a direct quote from the Codex. So sometimes a bigger person figures, hey, you know, I'm twice your size. Go force me to pay. That's the biblical prohibition. V'gam amru chazal, our sages also taught us, arba'a nikre'u rishaim. Four people are called wicked. That's the lashon. That's the term in the medrash. Echad mem, one of those four people is halove ve'inom shalem. Someone who takes a loan and doesn't pay it back. Shneimar, as the verse says, love rasha ve'lo yishalem. The wicked person, one of his traits is that he takes a loan and doesn't pay it back. V'chama yesh lo la'adam litpayesh me'atzmo. And how much a person has to be ashamed of himself, when he knows he could pay it back, and he withholds himself from this, and then he gains for himself the name of a wicked person. Think for a minute. Let's say a friend of yours would tell you you're a rasha, you're a wicked person. Even if it were only you two in the room, no one else heard it. The person wasn't embarrassed in front of everyone. Nonetheless, the person would be pretty upset at him over that. And how much more so in such an instance where a person causes himself to be called a rasha? In the world to come, when a person will have that name for fame, and thousands of people will know it, as the holy works write, that when it comes to the world to come, everything we do down below gets publicized. So, how much more so a person has to be careful? Even though we walk around this world and we try to show ourselves like we've done nothing wrong, we're perfect people, but up in heaven they know exactly what we've done wrong. And that's what our sages meant when they said in Tractate Avos, a person shouldn't be a wicked person in private. What does that mean? Sometimes we can get away with putting on a facade, showing everyone else like we're okay. But we know really what we're really thinking and doing. So the Chafetz Chaim gives a new understanding in that Mishnah that a person has to realize that the time will come when Hashem publicizes it. So it's not recommended. Uvifratim utamid chacham. And this is even more so if one is a Talmud Chacham and he took a loan and he doesn't pay back, then it's even worse. Because that's a desecration of the name of heaven. People look at him and say, ah, he learns Torah and he doesn't pay his rent on time or whatever. And then, if people are going to talk that way, so then that's also a desecration of God's name, the biblical prohibition not to desecrate His name. The Talmud tells us a phenomenal line in Tractate Yuma. We know one of the severest sins is the desecration of God's name. So the Gemara asks, what's included in the desecration of God's name? We know to blaspheme is the desecration of God's name, but the Gemara says, what's a practical application? If a person is a person of stature, imagine the chief rabbi of Israel. He comes to buy something in the shuk and he says, I'll pay you guys tomorrow. So people think badly about it. Why isn't he paying now? So that's an example, the Gemara says, of desecration of God's name. People look at him and say, a man of God, shouldn't he be forthcoming and paying right away? And how much more so in the scenario we just described, where a person owes money and he doesn't pay altogether. Yeah?
So when you talk about the evil, he shouldn't be evil in private. So you're saying, would it be better if he's an evil person, then to not put on the facade, you're saying he should be evil in public too?
What do you think?
I don't know, it's a tough one. I mean, you don't want to be who you're not, but at the same time, if you're doing at least good acts in public, maybe it'll transfer it to the private life.
Right. That's what he's saying, but transfer it to the private life. We have to work on consistency. It's hard. It's hard. It says we're all going to come to the world to come and be very embarrassed of the contradictions we live. On many levels, we're all hypocrites. The idea here is to work in the direction of resolving the hypocrisy in the better direction, right? Not in the worst direction.
I think evil people are like icebergs. Like, you just see the tip of their evil on the surface, but really what's going on behind it.
Behind
the scenes is more.
Yeah, there are verses that say that, right?
Or you see they're evil on the surface, in reality, they're actually good people. They just have an issue or something.
They all have issues. I don't know how good you are, and you let your evil show. And you're crying out for help, right?
It's a